The Jerusalem Sinner Saved by John Bunyan. HailAndFire.com. Again, then men presume when they are resolved to abide in their sins, and yet expect to be saved by God's grace through Christ. This is as much as to say, God liketh sin as well as I do, and careth not how men live, if so be they lean upon his Son. Of this sort are they that build up Zion with blood, and Jerusalem with iniquity, that judge for reward, and teach for hire, and divine for money, and lean upon the Lord. Micah 3:10 and 11. This is doing things with an high hand against the Lord our God, and the taking him, as it were, at the catch. This is, as we say among men, to seek to put a trick upon God, as if he had not sufficiently fortified his proposals of grace by his holy word, against all such kind of fools as these. But look to it. Such will be found at the day of God, not among that great company of Jerusalem sinners that shall be saved by grace, but among those that have been the great abusers of the grace of God in the world. Those that say, let us sin that grace may abound, and let us do evil that good may come, their damnation is just. And if so, they are a great way off of that salvation that is by Jesus Christ presented to the Jerusalem sinners. I have therefore these things to propound to that Jerusalem sinner that would know, if he may be so bold as to venture himself upon this grace. First, dost thou see thy sins? Secondly, art thou weary of them? Thirdly, wouldst thou with all thy heart be saved by Jesus Christ? I dare say no less, I dare say no more. But if it be truly thus with thee, how great soever thy sins have been, how bad soever thou feelest thy heart, how far soever thou art from thinking that God has mercy for these, thou art the man, the Jerusalem sinner, that the word of God has conquered, and to whom it affereth free remission of sins, by the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. When the jailer cried out, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? The answer was, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that sees his sins aright, is brought to his wit's end by them. And he that is so, is willing to part from them, and to be saved by the grace of God. If this be thy case, fear not, give no way to despair. Thou presumest not, if thou believest to life everlasting in Jesus Christ, yea, Christ is prepared for such as thou art. Therefore take good courage and believe. The design of Satan is to tell the presumptuous, that their presuming on mercy is good, but to persuade the believer, that his believing is impudent bold dealing with God. I never heard a presumptuous man in my life say that he was afraid that he presumed, but I have heard many an honest humble soul say, that they have been afraid that their faith has been presumption. Why should Satan molest those whose ways he knows will bring them to him? And who can think that he should be quiet when men take the right course to escape his hellish snares? This, therefore, is the reason why the truly humbled is opposed, while the presumptuous goes on by wind and tide. The truly humble Satan hates, but he laughs to see the foolery of the other. Does thy hand and heart tremble? Upon thee the promise smiles. To this man will I look, says God, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Isaiah 66:2. What, therefore, I have said of presumption concerns not the humble in spirit at all. I therefore am for gathering up the stones, and for taking the stumbling blocks out of the way of God's people, and forewarning of them that lay the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces, and the tough for presuming upon God's mercy. And let them look to themselves. Ezekiel 14:6 through 8. Also our text stands firm as ever it did, and our observation is still of force, that Jesus Christ would have mercy offered him the first place to the biggest sinners. So then let none despair, let none presume. Let none despair that are sorry for their sins, and would be saved by Jesus Christ. Let none presume that abide in the liking of their sins, though they seem to know the exceeding grace of Christ. For though the door stands wide open for the reception of the penitent, yet it is fast enough barred and bolted against the presumptuous sinner. be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man sows, that he shall reap. It cannot be that God should be wheedled out of his mercy, or prevailed upon by lips of dissimulation. He knows them that trust in him, and that sincerely come to him by Christ for mercy. Nahum 1:7. It is then not the abundance of sins committed, but the not coming heartily to God by Christ for mercy, that shuts men out of doors. And though their not coming heartily may be said to be but a sin, yet it is such a sin as causeth that all thy other sins abide upon the unforgiven. God complains of this. They have not cried unto me with their heart. They turned, but not to the Most High. They turned feignedly. Jeremiah 3:10. Hosea 7:14 and 16. Thus doing, his soul hates. But the penitent, humble, broken-hearted sinner, be his transgressions red as scarlet, red like crimson, in number as the sand. Though his transgressions cry to heaven against him for vengeance, and seem there to cry louder than do his prayers, or tears, or groans for mercy, yet he is safe. To this man God will look. Isaiah 1:18 and 66, 2. Seventhly, would Jesus Christ have mercy offered him the first place to the biggest sinners? Then here is ground for those that, as to practice, have not been such, to come to him for mercy. Although there is no sin little of itself, because it is a contradiction of the nature and majesty of God, yet we must admit of divers numbers, and also of aggravations. Two sins are not so many as three, nor are three that are done in ignorance so big as one that is done against light, against knowledge and conscience. Also there is the child in sin, and the man in sin that has his hairs grey, and his skin wrinkled for very age. And we must put a difference betwixt these sinners also. For can it be that a child of 7, or 10, or 16 years old, should be such a sinner so vile in the eye of the law as he is who has walked according to the course of this world, 40, 50, 60, or 70 years? Now the youth, this stripling, though he is a sinner, is but a little sinner, when compared with such. Now, I say, if there be room for the first sort, for those of the biggest size, certainly there is room for the lesser size. If there be a door wide enough for a giant to go in at, there is certainly room for a dwarf. If Christ Jesus has grace enough to save great sinners, he has surely grace enough to save little ones. If he can forgive 500 pence, for certain he can forgive 50. Luke 7:41 and 42. But you said before, that the little sinners must stand by until the great ones have received their grace, and that is discouraging. I answer, there are two sorts of little sinners, such as are so, and such as feign themselves so. They are those that feign themselves so, that I intended there, and not those that are indeed comparatively so. Such as feign themselves so may wait long enough before they obtain forgiveness. But again, a sinner may be comparatively a little sinner, and sensibly a great one. They are then two sorts of greatness in sin. Greatness by reason of number. Greatness by reason of thoroughness of conviction of the horrible nature of sin. In this last sense, he that has but one sin, if such a one could be found, may in his own eyes find himself the biggest sinner in the world. Let this man or this child therefore put himself among the great sinners, and plead with God as great sinners do, and expect to be saved with the great sinners, and as soon and as heartily as they. Yea, a little sinner, that comparatively is truly so, if he shall graciously give way to conviction, and shall in God's light diligently weigh the horrible nature of his own sins, may yet sooner obtain forgiveness for them at the hands of the Heavenly Father, than he that has 10 times his sins, and so caused to cry 10 times harder to God for mercy. For the grievousness of the cry is a great thing with God. For if he will hear the widow, if she cries at all, how much more if she cries most grievously? Exodus 22:22 and 23. It is not the number, but the true sense of the abominable nature of sin, that makes the cry for pardon lamentable. He, as I said, that has many sins, may not cry so loud in the ears of God as he that has far fewer. He, In our present sense, that is in his own eyes the biggest sinner, is he that soonest findeth mercy. The offer then is to the biggest sinner. To the biggest sinner first, and the mercy is first obtained by him that first confesseth himself to be such an one. They are men that strive at the throne of grace for mercy, by pleading the greatness of their necessity. Now their plea, as to the prevalency of it, lieth not in the counting up of the number, but in the sense of the greatness of their sins, and in the vehemency of their cry for pardon. And it is observable, that though the birthright was Reuben's, and, for his foolishness, given to the sons of Joseph, yet Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the Messiahs. 1 Chronicles 5. 1 and 2. There is a heavenly subtlety to be managed in this matter. Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. The blessing belonged to Esau, but Jacob by his diligence made it his own. Genesis 27, 33. The offer is to the biggest sinner, to the biggest sinner first. But if he forbear to cry, the sinner that is a sinner less by far than he, both as to number and the nature of transgression, may get the blessing first, if he shall have grace to bestir himself well. For the loudest cry is heard furthest, and the most lamentable pierces soonest. I therefore urge this head, not because I would have little sinners go and tell God that they are little sinners, thereby to think to obtain mercy. For, verily, so they are never like to have it, for such words declare, that such a one hath no true sense at all of the nature of his sins. Sin, as I said, in the nature of it, is horrible, though it be but one single sin as to act. Yea, though it be but a sinful thought. And so worthily calls for the damnation of the soul. The comparison, then, of little and great sinners, is to go for good sense among men. But to plead the fewness of thy sins, or the comparative harmlessness of their quantity before God, argueth no sound knowledge of the nature of thy sin, and so no true sense of the nature or need of mercy. Little sinner, when therefore thou goest to God, though thou knowest in thy conscience that thou, as to acts, art no thief, no murderer, no whore, no liar, no false swearer, or the like, and in reason must needs understand that thus thou art not so profanely vile as others. Yet when thou goest to God for mercy, know no man's sins but thine own, make mention of no man's sins but thine own. Also labor not to lessen thy own, but magnify and greeten them by all just circumstances, and be as if there was never a sinner in the world but thyself. Also cry out, as if thou wast the only undone man, and that is the way to obtain God's mercy. It is one of the comeliest sights in the world to see a little sinner commenting upon the greatness of his sins, multiplying and multiplying them to himself, till he makes them in his own eyes bigger and higher than he seeth any other man's sins to be in the world. And as base a thing it is to see a man do otherwise, and as basely will come on it. Luke 18:10-14. As, therefore, I said to the great sinner before, let him take heed lest he presume. I say now to the little sinner, let him take heed that he do not dissemble, for there is as great an aptness in the little sinner to dissemble, as there is in the great one. He that hideth his sins shall not prosper, be he a sinner little or great. Proverb 28:13. Eighthly, would Jesus Christ have mercy offered, in the first place, to the biggest sinners? Then this shows the true cause why Satan makes such head as he doth against him. The Father and the Holy Spirit are well spoken of by all deluders and deceived persons. Christ only is the rock of offense. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Romans 9:33. Not that Satan careth for the Father or the Spirit more than he careth for the Son, but he can let men alone with their notions of the Father and the Spirit, for he knows they shall never enjoy the Father nor the Spirit, if indeed they receive not the merits of the Son. He that hath the Son, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, however they may boast themselves of the Father and the Spirit. 1 John 5:12. Again, whosoever transgresseth, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, Hath not God, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, hath both the Father and the Son? 2 John 1:9. Christ, and Christ only, is he that can make us capable to enjoy God with life and joy to all eternity. Hence he calls himself the way to the Father, the true and living way. John 14:6. Hebrews 10:19-20. For we cannot come to the Father but by him. Satan knows this, therefore he hates him. Deluded persons are ignorant of this, and, therefore, they are so led up and down by Satan by the nose as they are. There are many things by which Satan has taken occasion to greet in his rage against Jesus Christ. As, first, his love to man, and then the many expressions of that love. He hath taken man's nature upon him. He hath in that nature fulfilled the law to bring in righteousness for man, and hath spilt his blood for the reconciling of men to God. He hath broke the neck of death, put away sin, destroyed the works of the devil, and got into his own hands the keys of death, and all these are heinous things to Satan. He cannot abide Christ for this. Besides, he hath eternal life in himself, and that to bestow upon us, and we in all likelihood are to possess the very places from which the Satans by transgression fell, if not places more glorious. Wherefore he must needs be angry. And is it not a vexatious thing to him, that we should be admitted to the throne of grace by Christ, while he stands bound over in chains of darkness, to answer for his rebellions against God and his Son, at the terrible day of judgment? Yea, we poor dust and ashes must become his judges, and triumph over him forever, and all this long of Jesus Christ. For he is the meritorious cause of all this. Now though Satan seeks to be revenged for this, yet he knows it is in vain to attack the person of Christ. He has overcome him, therefore he tampers with a company of silly men, that he may vilify him by them. And they, bold fools as they are, will not spare to spit in his face. They will rail at his person, and deny the very being of it. They will rail at his blood, and deny the merit and worth of it. They will deny the very end why he accomplished the law, and by jigs, and tricks, and quirks, which he helpeth them to, they set up fond names and images in his place, and give the glory of a Saviour to them. Thus Satan worketh under the name of Christ, and his ministers under the name of the ministers of righteousness. And by his wiles and stratagems he undoes a world of men. But there is a seed, and they shall serve him, and it shall be counted to the Lord for a generation. These shall see their sins, and that Christ is the way to happiness. These shall venture themselves, both body and soul, upon his worthiness. All this Satan knows, and therefore his rage is kindled the more. Wherefore, according to his ability and allowance, he assaulteth, tempteth, abuseth, and stirs up what he can to be hurtful to these poor people, that he may, while his time shall last, make it as hard and difficult for them to go to eternal glory as he can. Oftentimes he abuses them with wrong apprehensions of God, and with wrong apprehensions of Christ. He also casts them into the mire, to the reproach of religion, the shame of their brethren, the derision of the world, and dishonor of God. He holds our hands while the world buffets us. He puts bear skins upon us, and then sets the dogs at us. He bedaubeth us with his own foam, and then tempts us to believe that that bedaubing comes from ourselves. Oh! The rage and the roaring of this lion, and the hatred that he manifests against the Lord Jesus, and against them that are purchased with his blood. But yet, in the midst of all this, the Lord Jesus sends forth his herald to proclaim in the nations his love to the world, and to invite them to come in to him for life. Yea, his invitation is so large, that it affereth his mercy in the first place to the biggest sinners of every age, which augments the devil's rage the more. Wherefore, as I said before, fret he, fume he, the Lord Jesus will divide the spoil with this great one. Yea, he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah 53:12. Ninthly, Would Jesus Christ have mercy offered him the first place to the biggest sinners? Let the tempted harp upon this string for their help and consolation. The tempted, wherever he dwells, always thinks himself the biggest sinner, one most unworthy of eternal life. This is Satan's master argument: thou art a horrible sinner, a hypocrite, one that has a profane heart, and one that is an utter stranger to a work of grace. I say this is his mall, his club, his masterpiece. He doth with this as some do with their most enchanting songs, sings them everywhere. I believe there are but few saints in the world that have not had this temptation sounding in their ears. But were they but aware, Satan by all this does but drive them to the gap out at which they should go, and so escape his roaring. Saith he, thou art a great sinner, a horrible sinner, a profane-hearted wretch, one that cannot be matched for a vile one in the country. And all this while Christ says to his ministers, offer mercy, in the first place, to the biggest sinners. So that this temptation drives thee directly into the arms of Jesus Christ. John Bunyan.